We won't sit here all day and like go over all these little, you know, details, but basically, I'm sure you've seen the emails about everyone trying to put their marketing plans together and stuff. So, and everyone's completely different too, right? Like everyone has different needs and goals or whatever. Like, for example, some people really want to start filling the holes by doing social media. Some people want to do more videos. Some people want to concentrate on email campaigns. Some people want to do whatever. There's 100 things you could do, right? Mm-hmm. So we're trying to figure out, A, what you specifically want to do, like what holes you need filled, and then like how I personally could help. Yeah. So step one is, of course, figuring out what you particularly want to do, right? For example, if you're like, well, I want to make 50 touches every month with my database. We can figure out how to do that realistically. Mm-hmm. Using all these different tools, like creating your whole ecosystem, right? Like Facebook's one thing, email is one thing, calls are one thing, texts are one thing, sending a newsletter in the mail once a month is one thing, doing our promotions is one thing, doing a simple 10-second Instagram story that counts, that's one thing. Whatever you want to do, right? So I guess it all depends like how busy you want to be, mm-hmm. and then just where you feel there are holes that you want to plug. So okay. what do you think?
So, you know, this is what I realized. I've been a realtor for several years, over 10 years. And people who I thought knew I was a realtor was like, Gwen, I didn't know you was a realtor. Mm-hmm. So I think I need to have a presence where people see me as a realtor because they still think I'm working at the phone company. I'm like, no. So I think I need to build that to get my presence out there as a realtor so they can see my face as a realtor. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think social media is a good place to start. I need to get me a business page for real estate. Yeah.
Do you have any social media set up right now?
I have social media set up, but it's not geared towards business. Hey! It's not geared towards business.
Well, this is very...
And the only reason I set up that social media page, that Facebook page, because my cousin was getting married, and Facebook had just like kind of like taken off, and that's what everybody was doing to get mm-hmm. the word across to a mass of people. And I'm like, you have to send me stuff in the mail. I'm old school. It's like, cousin, you know what? All the information is on Facebook. So I had to join Facebook to get the information. That's how I got on Facebook.
Yeah. Well, it's even worse now. So it's a super common thing where people are like, well, I have a page, but do I need to have a separate business page?
Right.
Stuff like that. The answer is probably not for a couple of reasons. One is it's only really an advantage if you want to, for some reason, keep it very separate mm-hmm. from your everyday life. Mm-hmm. Most of the time, probably not recommended, and unless you're doing something that's like, if for some reason it conflicts with it, and mm-hmm. there's probably no reason to do it. The only reason would be like if you sell products and you want to have like, because you could put like a little store on your Facebook page, mm-hmm. business page, but are you selling products? Most realtors are not selling any goods. So, and then the main reason, probably not worth it, is because you already have all your friends on your other page. And just because you make a business page, they don't migrate over. You have to manually like get them to come over. Now, if you want to put in that effort, maybe it's worth it to you. Maybe it's savvy because it gives you an excuse to talk to them in general. Right, just say, hey, I'm doing this new page and it's a new real estate page. This way you're telling them that message, like you said, like you want to do, like you want to let them know you're in real estate, and you can help try to migrate them over. Probably not worth it because you've already done all the hard work, everyone follows you, mm-hmm. you already convinced them to do that, so probably not worth it.
Okay.
Unless again you're like, well, I really want to keep it separate.
Okay.
But on that note, I normally would say the way you're going to create more engagement is by not just talking about real estate. It's like being yourself, all the things that you like to do. So therefore, again, probably not much of a point to have like a dedicated real estate page.
Real estate page. Got it.
That's a long-winded way to say probably don't need to.
Okay.
But some people are like very particular and they're like, I really want to keep anything I do about real estate completely separate. Some people are, but generally I don't think it's necessary.
Okay.
So when it comes to like Facebook content, and Facebook's probably going to be the number one place as far as social media goes, mm-hmm. if you're trying to create business, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's all sorts of platforms, of course, Instagram, LinkedIn, whatever, whatever. But Facebook is going to be the most valuable because for a few reasons, but one is because it's a closed circuit platform, meaning like the only people that see you there are your friends that you've already invited to be there, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not like the public just sees you there, which is better for a client service business.
Right.
Who really cares about general public from wherever, right? Like you're trying to market to your database.
Right.
In simple terms.
It's a network you already have.
Yeah. So just kind of the same thing like when you have your database on a spreadsheet. Except now people are just on Facebook, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the people on Facebook are your friends. They know you, they're in your database. So it's a perfect place to be to like create content. So then you just have to start thinking about the content you're going to put there. And then number two, and more importantly, is how you're going to follow up. Because it's really simple. Like the content you put out, what it is, how well produced it is, how well thought out it is generally not that important. But once you put something out, what's going to happen is that people are going to engage with it. They're going to like it. They're going to comment on it, basic. And then you now have the opportunity to talk to those people. So it's super simple. You create something, put it out. People will engage with it. You'll see who engages with it, and you'll engage with them. Whether you'll send them a direct message or whatever, whatever. But if you're putting stuff out every day, you're going to get, I don't know how many followers you have or whatever, but since they're your friends.
About 4,000 and something.
4,000?
Close to 5,000.
Okay. Most people are like, I've got like 100, but
yeah,
5. Okay. So then even better. So I'm just going to pull in a random number. Like if you put something out and you get 40 likes, you literally now have 40 people you can just send a direct message to. And of course, you have to know who you're talking to. So you got to be able to create the connection, but you'll know who these people are, right? So you see someone, oh, hey, so-and-so, how is the new job that I know you just started, right? Something basic, not about real estate, just talk to them. And then guess what? You're going to do 20 conversations every day. Most of the time, it'll just be a nice little 5-minute conversation. Nothing about real estate comes up. Okay, great. You left an impression, you moved on with life. But then there's going to be the people where you got to be a little savvy. You got to be a real estate agent at the end of the day, and you got to steer the conversation about real estate somehow. You know what I mean? And then, oh, hey, you know, you'll go for the basic ask, right? Like if you know anyone, would you recommend them to me? Whatever, you know, I'm trying to get my business going. I work on referral. I want to offer them good service, blah, blah, blah. And they'll say, oh yeah, I have so-and-so was just taught, you know, how it works in real life. And then now you have a lead. And every once in a while, of course, it'll just be very direct. Like they'll see you say something about real estate and say, oh, I'm looking, I want to buy a house. Can you help me? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's usually not going to happen, but it could.
Yeah.
But the point is that you're just opening threads of conversation.
Okay.
Very easily. But can you wrap your head around the way you're going to get real estate business is by sitting on your phone for an hour every day and like messaging people. It's kind of hard for people to grasp that.
So let me ask you this. So how often, every day you should be posting something? Or is it 3 times a day? Because I was told at one time you should be posting something 3 times a day. And it has to be consistent every at the same time every day.
Well, there's like studies where they say it's more optimal to post at certain times. But really, you should post 100 times a day. This is where you have to figure out what's realistic for you.
Mm-hmm.
If you can post 100 times a day, that's what you should do. That's good. That's better.
Because
mm-hmm. What does happen psychologically is if you're posting every day, people get used to seeing it. They start to look forward to it, right? And then you don't post on any random day. They're like, they go on and like, oh, you know, where's Gwen's content? You know, they're a little disappointed. So yeah, certainly they start to look for it, which is a good thing. From a more technical perspective, what happens like with Facebook and Instagram is if you're posting every day, people are going to see it every day. And if they engage with it, what happens is every time they log in, your stuff is at the top. Yeah.
So when you post in 100 times a day, it's different content that you're posting about, mm-hmm. right? It can be, you know, have a great day, you know, anything, any motivational, anything content. In those, between those 100 posts, should you mention something about real estate? Should one a post be something about real estate?
So generally,
associated with the business of real estate?
Yeah, so generally, super common thing again, but generally, I would call that more like direct sales stuff, mm-hmm. like where you say, hey, I'm in real estate, I want to work with you. I would say that should be 10% of everything you put out. Mm-hmm. The rest of the stuff should be stuff you do, stuff you enjoy in real life. Mm-hmm. If it is like being motivational, mm-hmm. that's perfectly valid. You just like to do little 30-second, you know, speeches or quotes, or, you know, just if you feel something, you say it, and it's just generally motivating. If it's, you know, however it's empowering, however you, whatever your goal is, that's what you should do. Mm-hmm. If you like cooking, you just live stream yourself cooking, right? Like if that's a skill you have, or whatever it is that you do, and you just do stuff you do in real life, right? And then the real estate stuff, you don't really have to usually convince people or remind them, hey, I do real estate, mm-hmm. because if you're doing real estate and you're posting content, they're going to see it. Mm-hmm. Like if you go do a showing or something, you do like a... let's look at it like this. You're doing a real estate activity, like a showing. You could post a piece of content where it's very salesy, right? Like, hey, I'm here doing the showing. It's a 3-bedroom, 2-bathroom house in whatever neighborhood. It's going for $300,000. If you want to see it, call me. Yeah, you know, you have to remember, people don't really want to go on Facebook for real estate advertisements. Mm-hmm. They don't. In that same situation, you can make a video, same way, and you send them an actually Facebook appropriate message, right? For example, it took me an hour to get here because traffic was really bad, but that's okay. I'm not going to let it get me down. You know, it's snowing. It's horrible out here. And, you know, I love to do this and I'm not going to give up on my clients. They really need to find a place quick and I'm working hard for them here in whatever neighborhood. They love this house. It's a beautiful house and I'm working hard for them. Boom. Extremely different message. Still told them about real estate, but now people are like, wow, like I'm happy for her that she's working hard and she's successful. I respect that. She likes what she does. It's a much different message versus like, okay, she's trying to sell me a house. I don't care about a house. What I care about is Gwen. What I care about is that Gwen is happy and successful and she's doing stuff she likes. And I care that she has high work ethic, et cetera, et cetera. Do you see the difference? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you're still talking about real estate, but you're sending people messages they actually care about. The first video will probably get a couple likes from the same 3 people that are going to like everything you do. Mm-hmm. The second video is going to get 100 likes, right? And you didn't really work any harder. You were just respecting the platform at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. So does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So it's like you just got to send the right message. Nobody gives a rat's ass about your real estate career. I promise you that. Nobody cares. Nobody cares about the house you're selling. Why would they? Unless it's the 2 times in their life where they're trying to buy a house, okay?
Right.
Why would they care?
Right.
They care about you.
You know what? It's so funny you say that because I see realtors posting, oh, I'm showing, like you just said, I'm like, I don't care about that. My client not interested in that house, well, I'm not. So I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not a place you go to like put a billboard or an advertisement. It just isn't. There's places for that, but it's not Facebook.
Right.
Facebook is simply where you go to share your successes life. And your life. Okay. Like, I'm sure whether it's clicked in your head or not, when you go on there, that's exactly what you're doing. You're looking at your friend's content, and there's things like you're like, I don't care about that because it's businessy. Mm-hmm. Who cares? But there's other stuff you're like, I really do care about family and whatever. I don't know. So you can take that those principles and you can apply it to be about real estate sometimes, and you can use it as an effective business tool because you post stuff, people like it, and then you talk to them. You post, people like it, you talk to them, right? Mm-hmm. But if you're doing that every day and you're talking to 10, 15 people every day, which would take a couple minutes each probably, right? Because mm-hmm. not every conversation is going to go for an hour. Sometimes it will. But you're just opening threads of conversation inevitably with a little bit of technique. You can steer the conversation about real estate and you can ask for the referral and just like it's always been done forever, except you're just doing it on Facebook Messenger, right? That's literally the game. But if you're posting stuff where you're getting one like every day, okay, but if you're posting stuff where you're getting 100, that's going to be a lot better, right? It should be self-explanatory. So, and it works.
So if you get like 100 likes, should you just, you know, they're just liking, right? Like no one is making a direct comment, right? You're just a lot of likes.
Mm-hmm.
Should you address those likes in a comment or thanks for, you know what I'm saying? Or,
yeah. It depends. And again, this is where you have to know who you're talking to. Because sometimes it might be someone where you don't really know them that well. It's an acquaintance. And you just kind of say, hey, thanks for the like. Hope all is well. And leave it at that. Mm-hmm. There's a chance that they're going to re-respond and continue the conversation. In which case, you could say, hey, you just send them a direct message at that point.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times, though, you just say, oh, thanks for the nice words. You know, hope all is well. And you move on. You made an impression. You moved on. But then there's going to be some people where you're like, hey, I can talk to this person, right? Like I can just open a conversation right now. You just kind of have to know. And I think it's usually obvious, but both are fine. Of course, the goal is you want to get it to a private conversation. You don't want to have long conversations in the comment section. So it's just really you have to know, right? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But you should try to get it to the to like Messenger or text or whatever, if you can. And then again, that's just talk to them. Don't say, hey, you know, don't instantly say, hey, I work in real estate. Do you want to have any referrals for me? No, just have a conversation with them. Expect that it's going to go for 10 minutes. Just a quick back and forth. And then inevitably, sometimes the opportunity will present itself where they mention something or you mention something. Oh, how's work? And they say, oh, work's great, blah, blah. How's work with you? You say, oh, well, you know, I'm putting together my real estate marketing plan. Or, hey, my company's doing a promotion this month. Do you mind if I send you the flyer or whatever? Like, it's a really great thing. We're giving away $50 gift cards to your favorite restaurant. That sounds cool, right? You know, can I send it to you? See where I'm going with it? So you just have a conversation. And if you're having 10, 15 conversations every day like that, opportunities will present themselves. It's like impossible. They won't. It just is. But of course, you got to have a little bit of technique. Like I said, you got to be able to eventually steer it about real estate. But the point of like Facebook as a business tool is to open the threads of conversation. And then you got to be a realtor. Wow. See what I'm saying? So with like a small learning curve about, because of course, I'm sure you're going to say, like everybody says, what do I post? Right? But with a small learning curve, you could become like social media powerhouse. Like you could just, once you get in the habit of just pointing the damn phone at yourself and talking to it, cool things start to happen. You don't have to do like really overly produced stuff. You don't got to be a designer. You don't have to. Okay. This camera takes better video than Hollywood cameras did 10 years ago. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So that's not an excuse. Sit in front of a window so you get good lighting. Not an excuse. You don't need good lighting. Your phone has good microphones. You get a microphone like this. Mm-hmm. Clips right on your phone. That's not an excuse, right? It's just creating the habits, getting out of your head that like people want to see you. They want to hear from you. You know what I mean? That's the hardest part I've learned doing this for over 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they just can't wrap their heads around it. That, hey, I got to make a Facebook story and I'm going to get real estate business from that. This is stupid. That's what my teenage daughter does or whatever. You know what I mean? They're like, I'm not going to do that. That's stupid. That's the hard part in my experience. Accepting that this is a valuable business tool, that's the hardest thing. And it is. Mm-hmm. So, and again, like I said, the game is not hard. Post stuff, they engage, you engage them. You just talk to people. What you're putting out is not the most important thing, as long as you're not doing anything stupid. And of course, you're not going to.
Right.
No, people aren't going to do anything like that. Just be yourself. Post about what you're really doing and what stuff you like. Don't overthink it. And just have conversations. You have 5,000 followers. That's a lot.
Yeah. It's family, friends, and then like my cousin's friends. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, your cousin's with us. I know your cousin. Oh, you know what I mean? Or is someone's daughter that I went to school with their mom, and they know my daughter. Oh, your daughter, did your daughter go to? I'm like, yeah, you know what I mean? So it's like, I started getting into my family and friends network.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I got to that number.
Yeah. You're obviously way ahead of the game.
Yeah.
So yeah, so.
It's like 4,900 and like 90.
Hey, that's respectable.
Yeah.
I have nowhere near that. Yeah. I've got like 300 or 400.
Yeah, it took some time to get it there.
So here's the other good point. You've already done the hard work. You've convinced 4,000 people to like you. That's the hard part. Okay, you've done 90% of the job.
Okay.
Now you just got to make. Well, no. Now you just got to talk to them.
I got to talk to them. Yeah. I post a lot.
Yeah.
I don't.
Hey, if you don't even want to post, go through the list and just pick out people that you think you could just talk to right away and just strike a conversation. The perfect thing to do on day one in this situation,
mm-hmm.
you set your phone up, point it at yourself, you look at it, you talk to it, and you just say, hey, I want to let everybody know this year I'm refocusing on my real estate career. And I'm sorry if I haven't been in contact with you as much as I should have been, but I'm going to do better this year. I plan to be, you know, doing different events and promotions and, you know, whatever. You make a nice little video just basically saying, hey, I'm sorry I haven't been in contact with you. This is like what they teach you in Buffini, right? You just literally say, hey, I'm sorry, but I'm going to do better now. I'm going to be more in contact with you. You're going to see me more on Facebook. Whatever it is you're going to do. I'm going to be sending out a mailer once a month, or you're going to see me here on Facebook once a day. Like I promise you that, or I'm going to send you a text once a month, whatever it is you're actually going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Make a quick 60-second little video just saying, hey, I'm recommitting to this thing. People are going to say, wow, I'm proud of you. That's great. That's great. Not because it's about real estate, but because it's about you being genuine and honest. Hey, I'm making a recommitment to this. And look out for my content. Hope to hear from you soon. You know, something real simple and basic. That's perfect, I think, day one thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then just do it as a test. Just see what happens. And then, you know, the lowest hanging fruit in this situation also is to like set the camera up, talk to yourself, not to yourself, but talk to the camera and give them like a real estate tip. I know we said at the beginning, like, that's not the best thing to do,
mm-hmm.
but just to get in the habit, because I think it's a low-hanging fruit,
mm-hmm.
sit there, just talk and say, hey, you know, here's a quick market update. The mortgage rates went down 0.25 point. You know, things are trending in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a reminder that if you're looking to enter the real estate market this year, the best thing you could do is to get pre-qualified or pre-approved. I work with plenty of lenders that can help you. It takes about 10 minutes and you'll know what you're shopping for. You know, give them a quick little spiel.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. Now.
So let me ask you this. Are you going live or are you recording?
Well, going live will probably yield you the best results,
mm-hmm.
best like instant results, because Facebook likes Facebook rewards people for making content that people on Facebook want to see, right? And right now, live videos, they're prioritizing. So if you were to go live every day, mm-hmm. Facebook is going to basically give you like extra exposure. Mm-hmm. And they're going to show all the people, all your friends. Gwen's going live. Join her live thing, and a lot of people will probably join. So that's a good idea. That's a good way also to not worry about like producing stuff or making it look good or not overthinking it. You just go live and you see what happens for whatever situation. People love it. People will engage with that. There's no doubt about it. Like a couple weeks ago, I was just testing my microphone or my internet connection. I wasn't even like going live for anything. Mm-hmm. And there was like 50 people liking and commenting and doing all this stuff. I wasn't even like talking to them. I was literally just testing my internet connection. Right. Like people just love that stuff. So if you're going on there and doing something, you know, that you like to do, people are going to really love that and they're going to engage. Of course, you know, you can't. If you mess up, you can't be like, oh, I'm going to start over, right? So right. That's something you got to get over. Right. But that's a good thing too. Like, you're going to be better off if sometimes you sound kind of nervous or you're stumbling, because that makes you feel like a real person. And they would be stumbling too. They'd be nervous too. So they feel more connected to you. Like, that's not going to hurt you. That's not going to, like, hurt your competency or something like that, which some people say. It's definitely not. So live streams are great, especially like if you're at an open house, for example, you do a live stream, do like a walkthrough. Mm-hmm. Take the opportunities as they come. Like don't refuse to do like more direct real estate stuff. If you're already out there doing it, mm-hmm. just record it, like just document it. It's just more content. That's fine. Mm-hmm. But don't, in the long run, I would say don't get in the habit of that being like everything you do. Yeah. But don't neglect it on purpose mm-hmm. if you're already out there doing it. But again, remember, be a little savvy. You could give the real estate message, but in a way that they care about it, right? And yeah, so document what you're already doing. That's content. Do like a quick 60-second video. Hey, here's a real estate tip. At first, that's fine, I'd say, just because you get in the habit of hitting record and hitting upload. Take pictures of your dog if you have one. Take pictures of whatever you do in real life, right? People will love it. The best thing you could do is make videos. But if you got to take pictures, that's fine too. If you got to make like a text post, that's fine too. Just do stuff that's real and honest, and you know, be a person. Don't be a real estate agent. Don't be a walking advertisement. Be a person. And the people will like it, and you'll talk to them. You'll open 10 conversations every day or more. You'll talk to those people. How could you not get business? And that's just one thing. That's just Facebook, and that's just barely like scratching the surface as far as like strategy goes.
Mm-hmm. Now, what's the difference? Facebook, Instagram. Instagram good for advertising? What is the purpose of Instagram?
Instagram's good. It's actually the same company. But they kind of work oppositely in that Facebook, like we said, it's basically people that you know, whereas Instagram is more for general exposure. Like you can get exposure to the public a lot easier. So it kind of depends. Instagram has a lot of features that they've baked in, you know, recently. Mm-hmm. So they're kind of blurring the lines more. Like you can make same type of videos or stories on both, right? For example, but Instagram, I would just say, is more for like general branding and exposure. Okay. Videos still are preferred, but Instagram has always been about like beautiful aesthetics, right? Which kind of serves well for real estate, because you take nice real estate pictures, they're nice pictures, right? So that works well. Instagram lives are a big thing right now. So there, your strategy, It depends what your strategy is, I guess. Like, it could be you take a picture of yourself every day in, like, your nice outfit, whatever, okay? And that's what you put on Instagram. On Facebook, you concentrate more on video, right? Or doing live streams or whatever it is. Like, there's many different ways to go about it. Okay. I generally wouldn't say just do everything everywhere. You kind of want to pick, here's the type of thing I'm going to put on Instagram all the time. Keep the aesthetic similar. Here's the type of thing I'm going to put on Facebook. Instagram could do well for, like, motivational quotes and stuff, right? Mm-hmm. So you do, like, a either whether it's picture of you or it's picture more general picture, and you do, like, an overlay with the quote on it. That would work well. It's always going to be better if it's you and your face versus a general, like, stock photo. But then you learn to use hashtags, which is just search terms, like, to be discovered, right? And that's what people search for. And then content comes up. So you learn how to use those, get a little savvy with that. And then Facebook is where you just engage with people who already like you, which is, as a real estate agent, that's going to be more valuable. Right. So again, we can go on and on and on about, like, different strategies and content, but that's, like, the basic overview. Like, Facebook is really going to be the place, I think. Because you've already done all the hard work, I believe. You've already convinced people to like you. They know who you are. And I promise they do want to hear from you. Now it's just a matter of, like, getting in the habit of posting content, like, learning little nuances here and there, like, small learning curve, but just now learning about what to post. The easiest way to get started is to just document what you're already doing. So you don't have to think. You're already doing it. Just point the camera at yourself and say, hey, look what I'm doing. Like right now, you could do it right here. Just do a quick video or go in the car and say, hey, you know, I'm here at the office and I'm learning more about real estate or learning more about social media marketing so I can add that to my business and bring you guys more value. You know, tell me some stuff you might want to hear from me. Simple. But then are you going to do that 10 times a day? If you do like a 10 second story once a day, yeah, okay. But if you do it 10 times a day and you do a video and you do a picture and you type something nice, what's going to be better? You know what I mean? That's up to you. But the more you can do, the better. Maybe you're someone who wants to do a podcast. That's another big thing I believe in right now.
I want to do, I have this group, it's called Hey Sis. And before the pandemic, what I used to do, I used to host brunches for ladies. Mm-hmm. And the whole purpose of Hey Sis is, the mission statement was to empower and educate sisters to be a universal force of, to empower and educate women to be a universal force of sisterhood by them sharing their stories. So what I used to do, I used to host a brunch, and I always had one speaker. And a young lady would come, and she would speak on different things she had gone through before her success. Whatever it was, a tragedy, whatever it was, she would speak on that. But now I'm here because they're successful. I had women that went through divorces, women that was foster kids, you know, different things. And they would speak on, you know, their progressions and everything they went through with life, and now I'm here. Because I always used to tell the women, we all have a story, right? We all have a story to tell. And sometimes our story is not just for us, and our things we go through in life is not just for us. We get through it so the next person can see, oh, they made it. Because now we have to give that, you know what I'm saying? So that was it. And the first brunch I had, it was like 15 women there. Then the next brunch, it was like 40. The next one was like 70 and started growing. And then the pandemic happened. And then they was like hungry for that. It's like, Gwen, oh my God, what are we going to do? The pandemic, can't go outside. And that was the whole nother animal, right? And even now they're asking me, so Gwen, when are you going to bring Hey Sis back? When are you going to do something? And I'm like, man, I need to do it just a podcast with Hey Sis. And then what I would do at the end, I would, like you have some women that had their own business. And then I would just, you know, like advertisement, right? At the end, if you're looking for advertisement, putting their stuff on there, my stuff, you know what I mean? Contact real estate, boom, this, boom. it's like an advertisement at the end. Yeah. So I was like, man, I need to do a podcast for that.
I love everything about what you just said. I think that one thing, doing that one, it'll turn into more than a podcast. Mm-hmm. Okay. It will be its own animal. Okay. But a podcast is a perfect component of that. Maybe the core component, right? Mm-hmm. That Jesus brand will make you a millionaire. Mm-hmm. There's not a part of my soul that doesn't believe that. Mm-hmm. If you can learn how to just if it's very simple, learn how to produce a podcast. And let me tell you something, you can. It's easy. You already see the response you're getting. Mm-hmm. People already love you. That's clear. Okay, you're creating a truly valuable asset also for these women. It's not just about telling their story, right? These women are getting tremendous value from it. It's helping them. If you can double down on this one thing, I think you will get tremendous real estate business from it. If you do it for the next 3 months, 6 months, you saw the response you were getting so quickly, okay? Bring it back. Now you're creating a whole ecosystem around you. You're doing the podcast, maybe you're still doing the brunches. And then from doing these interviews, all these other little opportunities will present themselves. And then, of course, all of that is content for what we've been talking about, putting it on social media. It's tailor-made for Instagram. It's tailor-made for Facebook. It's tailor-made for YouTube. It just is. Doing certain things live, doing your long-form stuff, which would be like the podcast, doing the short stuff, right? Because if you do an hour-long podcast, let's just say, you're going to say, or they're going to say 10 valuable things that you could take into like a little nugget, right? Like a little one-minute nugget. And now you have stuff to distribute all over the place. So from that one thing, producing a podcast, you're going to have 25 pieces of content every single time or more, easily. Okay. And then of course, all that means is you're going to have tons of engagement, which all that means is you're going to have tons of conversations, which all that means is you're going to have tons of referrals. So forget everything I said. I think that is the most perfect A+ thing for you to do.
Generating it on
Hesus. Yeah, I mean, I can help you.
I have a Facebook page for Hesus.
Okay, you're way ahead of the game. Yeah. You know, whatever you need, just a simple logo. I mean, getting it out there on the platforms is super easy. You just upload it. It's really, really easy.
And that's what, this is so, oh my goodness. The logo I have, I like it, but I don't like it because it's not original. It's not mine. But I try to, when people look at the logo, identify diversity of women. Mm-hmm. But I wanted this to be and I couldn't find anything, but just women, diversity of women, not just, you know what I'm saying? But this is like all women just coming together under. But I want diversity, all cultures, not just one. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I do.
So I have to find me another pick, another, I have to find me something else.
I'll think about it. Maybe I could come up with something.
Yeah. So I got 874 members. 874 members.
Listen, it's not that easy to get 1,000 people to like your Facebook page. Let me assure you of this. I've made 500 Facebook pages for all sorts of businesses and projects. I've never got 1,000 people to like it. Guess that just tells you this is something worthwhile. Okay, right. People really respond to this. So
now, see, this is what I did. Not to interrupt. So when I first started this, I didn't know how to do this, mm-hmm. and I put this under community. Mm-hmm. So under community, I have 99 followers, right? But then I'm like, okay, this is not right. I'm supposed to be a group. And then I did the Jesus group, mm-hmm. and I have 874. Yeah. I don't even know how to convert those people over to 99.
Well, you could have it be a private group. Mm-hmm. You got to be a member. That's not a horrible thing.
So how do I get the ones that was in the community over? Should I just send them an invite? Send them an invite over to the group.
Exactly. Message them, hey.
Yeah.
I'm revamping this HACES ecosystem, and we're going to start doing, I'm going to launch the podcast now so it could be distributed to more people, not just at the brunch. And it would be great if you liked the page.
Okay.
I'm glad you brought that up because that's, you have like a true asset you could build content around. And you could still do the real estate stuff, like the simple stuff like I was saying, but this is better.
Okay.
You're going to sell infinitely more real estate talking about that than you're than you will talking about real estate.
Okay.
You just will. Again, you got to be a little responsible to your business here. You got to accept the fact that you got to learn a little bit about how to produce basic content, how to produce a podcast. You got to learn how a friggin' microphone works. Oh, I don't know how. Too bad. Okay, you just have to. You got to be a little responsible.
Right.
Or you hire someone like me to do it, right? But I'm telling you, it's something you could do.
Okay.
You learn how to do a damn video. How? Like, look at this. You don't need this kind of tripod. You just have your phone.
Mm-hmm.
You could do that, right? You could point it out yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You can get a microphone. It just clips on, you're done. A second and a half. You could do that.
So if I did my HACES podcast and I'm talking to other women and I record that whole interview, what is the best way? Because usually I was sitting on a couch, right? Just try to make it more inviting where people can, you know, relate to, you know, just having a conversation. We're talking about life. I had one young lady who was my first video I did. I'm not saying it's a podcast, it's a video. First video I did was about a young lady who was a teen mom. And she told her story about being a teen mom and went away to college in Louisiana. And everybody was telling her that, you know what, you're a mother, you're not going to make it in college. College is not for you. You need to stay here, take care of your kid and go to school. But she went away to college in Louisiana. And then Hurricane Katrina hit. Then she had to come home and she was just so devastated and sad. And she was like, oh, my goodness, because her mom was worried about it because she took her baby to school with her. And she was the only one on campus, you know, walking around with a kid. And she was like, oh, man, I'm looking all crazy. I'm the only one on campus with a kid. Then Hurricane Katrina hit. Then she had to go home. And then she said all the doubt and everything, all the negative stuff people was telling her started to set in, that she wasn't going to make it, that, you know what, who did she think she was? And then her mom talked to her and she said, yeah, I really want to go to school. And then she left and went back to school. Her mom kept her baby and she went back to school. She went to Howard and she graduated from Howard University. She met, Maxine Waters in the bathroom on Capitol Hill. And Maxine Waters just saw something in her. She's like, oh, I'm working here with whoever the senator was at the time. And she's like, you know what? I'm going to have you do this. And she started working with them on Capitol Hill and doing different things on Capitol Hill. And now she has her own million-dollar business in the insurance business. So before she had that insurance business, because that came later after our podcast, she was the director over a non-for-profit organization. And then she had started her own non-for-profit organization called Generational Moms, where she was helping young ladies who were teen moms with secondary education, you know, helping them with filling out applications, giving them supplies and computers and, you know, gift baskets when they first go. It was really nice. And, so that was my first podcast, but she has even gone to other levels since then.
It's like this stuff is could be better. I'm trying to add to it. I can't. It's already perfect. Like you will get a mass. You've already seen. You're going to get a massive response to it. Obviously, your target audience are women. You know, it's your niche. You're empowering women in business and in other areas. Okay. That's a great thing. You have your audience defined. You have your brand defined. People already are responding to you. I don't think you'll have a big problem like getting guests.
Mm-hmm. No. They'd rather be asking, Gwen, when I'm coming on your podcast, even guys.
Hey, nothing wrong with that.
I was like, man, look, you need to hear from the guys. Even guys.
That's great, too. Yeah. Get the guys' perspective on certain things. Yeah. It doesn't have to be just women.
Yeah.
But you literally have everything already, like, created. The foundation. Mm-hmm. You literally just now have to
build on it.
Yeah. You literally now just have to schedule a guest and learn how to record it, which is not that hard. You got 30 minutes, I'll teach you, okay? Mm-hmm. It's not that hard. But that's what you have to do. Mm-hmm. And then now you have a real true asset that you start distributing as content, right? Mm-hmm. So that takes care of itself. You don't got to worry about, oh, what should I post? What should I post? That's what you post. It's not that hard. It's hard up here, mm-hmm. but technically it's not that hard.
And let me ask you this question. So, like, when I do a video with the Hey Sis thing, because it's all about branding, too, and I'll be looking at, because I want my background to be consistent, right? I want the background to be consistent. Should I have, like, because I had made sweatshirts and everything with Hey Sis
mm-hmm.
sweatshirts, and then on the back it had, like, you know, like SIS, Sis, right ahead, successful, intelligent. Sister, soulful, innovative sister. Just these different acronyms for SIS.
Yeah, I like that.
So should I have like in the background, like a thing that says "Hey Sis," like that be background, or should the background be plain?
The true answer is doesn't matter.
Okay.
Well, it matters only in that. However you want it to look. Mm-hmm. Okay. Is it going to be something where you have a dedicated like set? Or is it going to be something you take like remotely every time, right? That's something you had to figure out. Both are fine. At Grand, we have a studio. It's literally a video studio. I built it myself with my own hands. Okay. No one uses it. You should use it.
Okay.
It's literally there. The whole top floor is a video studio.
Really?
Yes. My idea was that agents were going to come in and produce content.
Produce content.
6 years later, no one's ever walked in there once.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious. So it's there, okay? You have a set. You put whatever furniture you want, set it up however you want. It's much better if you have a dedicated space because you have the lights and the microphones, everything set up. You don't have to do anything. You just hit record, turn everything on, okay? Everything looks beautiful, sounds beautiful. That's it, right? Versus like breaking it down, taking it somewhere. It's a pain.
Right.
So now you have a space. You just got to get some equipment, set it up. I mean, hey, I can't tell you this for sure, but if you just say, George, I have this idea. I want to use the space. You know, I got 30 guests already booked. It's going to be a big thing for my business. You know, will you help me get some equipment?
So what kind of equipment would I need?
Well, some lighting kits. Mm-hmm. You need, look, I'm a production guy. I could sit here and say, well, we're doing 3-camera setup, or you know, multicam switchers and microphones, backup mics, and
mm-hmm. and those boomers or whatever they call.
Yeah, we can go on and on. What do you need versus what can we do? Yeah, you could produce something beautifully with one camera angle to start, mm-hmm. a basic lighting kit, and then it just comes down to like how you want it to look with furniture and decor, right? I obviously need microphones. That's the most supremely important part. Mm-hmm. If you have each microphone costs under $100, and then you have beautiful audio, you need something for all the microphones to go into. It's maybe a couple $100, and then you need your camera, which is the least important part. Mm-hmm. That could be anything from a couple $100 to $100,000, mm-hmm. right? And it doesn't matter at the end of the day. And then you just plug that mixer into the camera. Now the video and the audio all is mixed together, looks good, sounds good, simple. And you need just a tripod. And then you could do 3 cameras, so on each guest, and then like a wide or whatever you want. You can get creative with it. But to start, yeah, just point a camera at both of you. Mm-hmm. Make sure your microphones are good. You could use microphones like this if you want. Mm-hmm. But preferably you would use the dynamic mics. It's like the stage mics. Mm-hmm. You've seen them a million times. They have dedicated podcasting mics. You've seen them.
Yeah.
Okay. What, however you want to do it. That's, if you're going to invest money, that's where your money should go first, is in the microphones. Okay. The video camera, it doesn't matter. Once it goes on YouTube or Facebook, the world's most expensive camera and this phone, image-wise, it'll look the same. Because when you upload it to the platforms, basically, it mushes it down. Mm-hmm. And they all look the same in the end. So it doesn't really matter. But what does matter is the sound. So
you need to text me. Let me know what type of microphone. Because I think that's what I really want to do.
That's to start. I would put it on paper like once a week.
That was my next question. So how often should you have a podcast? And it should be like, okay, every Wednesday.
Well, this just comes down to logistics.
Okay.
Like, if you can get a guest, mm-hmm. produce it, distribute it mm-hmm. once a day, that's what you should do. Mm-hmm. But you got to be realistic, okay? Mm-hmm. To start, I would say you shoot for once a week. Like, shoot for a production day, like whatever day you're going to have the guests, mm-hmm. and shoot for a release date, whatever it is. So it'll kind of be in arrears, right? Like, mm-hmm. you'll be producing on Monday, you'll be doing the interview, but then on Friday, one's going out from last week's interview, right? Because now you've produced it. You know, does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah.
So pick a day and a time. I think that's important to produce, to put it out there. People will look forward to it. But that's probably what I would try to do at first, is just try to do it once a week. And if you can do more, you do more. Mm-hmm. But just get 3, 4, 5 under your belt. Get in the groove. Just, you know, because you'll learn a lot in those couple of times. As far as, like, again, like, the production's not hard. What's going to be harder is the logistics. Organizing the guests. Mm-hmm. Sending them the release form. Getting that done. Little
so
things.
So, in recording that, like, so, can you, like, show a video? Like, say, for instance, with the guys, right? You have a topic. Mm-hmm. But you want to show a video. Like, here's a video that, and this is a conversation that I had with women and men, mm-hmm. right? And I'm like, and this video came to me today. I'm like, oh my God, that's just the conversation we had. And I relate to this conversation because I consider myself an alpha female, right? So my uncle was asking me, I said, no, it's not that. I pour into guys, but they pour into me. So I'm not that, oh, sweetie, if I have to do everything. You understand what I'm saying? So I'm going to show you this video that was sent to me, and it spoke to that. And I'm like, see, this is that. So my uncle was like, you know what, so we need to have a conversation about that. It was so funny. So, look.
The hard truth is weak men create masculine women, and strong men create feminine women. These men be wanting women to be submissive, but they don't bring anything to the table. Are you holding it down as a man? Are you making sure your woman is taken care of financially, spiritually, and emotionally? A lot of these dudes don't even bring anything to the table. They starve their woman of her wants and needs and still expect to be treated like a king. How is a woman supposed to thrive in her femininity when she has to carry a man's load? Handle your business as a man or move out the way so a real one can do what you failed horribly at. The hard truth.
Yeah, see, that kind of microphone is all you need. Yeah, see how they, obviously that came from a bigger podcast, right? Mm-hmm. They take a 60-second piece, now they have a new piece to kind of, that's exactly what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. That's, you could do that, okay? Or have, I'm sure someone you know can do it, mm-hmm. all right? That's exactly what you do. And people will love it. Mm-hmm. You already have a proven concept too. Like, that's the bigger point here. You already have a proven concept. People already are aware of it. They already proven that they're going to respond. Mm-hmm. Now you just got to do more.
Yeah. So I wanted to